Dr. Scott Caudill is a dear friend of mine. We've not known each other for decades, but you wouldn't know it. We're like-minded in so many ways. But God didn't say what to do with the no-minded, did he? here's a man that is very talented, an intellectual, but not only that, he's a fiery Baptist preacher that loves God. May I say it this way? This is a man God is using to reach the world. There only eternity will reveal how many millions of people's lives are affected by this one man. Over 120 missionaries that he oversees, all the churches that he preaches in. He's pastored several different churches. God has used Dr. Scott Caudill in an amazing way. I am honored to have him as a friend. I mean this. I'm honored for you, my church, and I say that it's God's church, not mine. I'm just his assistant pastor. But I'm honored for you to get to know who some of my friends are. Aren't you glad I have friends like that? Because you don't want to hear me sing. shut up. you hurt me. Can you quit twisting that thing? But seriously, this is a man that, a sweet, Christian, godly, spiritual man. He's my friend. We pray for each other. We communicate just about every day, back and forth. And this is a faithful servant of God. This is the kind of man that many may not know on this side of heaven, but when we get to heaven one day, he's going to be something big, let me tell you. And he quietly does his work behind the scenes, but he does a very, very big work. We get to support Macedonia World Baptist Missions and the printing ministry, putting gospel tracts on the field, millions of them going out. I'm excited about that. It just thrills my heart. I surrendered to preach in Guatemoc, Chihuahua, Mexico, 42 years ago, this last month. I was on the mission field when I surrendered to preach, doing some work down there. You say, why? Because I could get out of the country and away from my mom and dad for 2 weeks. It cost me $300. I said, let's go. I never got to go to Mexico before. I didn't know God was going to do what he was going to do to me. But I thank God for it. And I thank God for a man like Dr. Caudill, my dear friend. I want you to hear him with pleasure tonight. Brother Caudill, come preach to us.
Thank you. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Amen. Well, take your Bible tonight, if you would please, and turn with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 22. And in just a moment, I'm going to read just one verse of Scripture, that verse being verse number 17 of this final chapter of the entire canon of Scripture. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. Let me say, while you're finding your place tonight in the book of the Revelation chapter number 22, I hope if you haven't come by our table yet, you would do so on the way out this evening and pick up Macedonia's latest Focus on the Field magazine. These magazines are absolutely free of charge. We'd love for you to pick up one so you can be much in prayer, not only for our missionaries around the world, but I especially would appreciate your prayers for our home office. Thank you. I know the print shop director and all the guys in the print shop and the volunteers there would want me to say thank you for having a part in printing gospel tracts every single month. You can read about what the Lord's doing in the printing ministry at Macedonia by getting a Focus on the Field magazine. You can see some of our volunteers here on the back. I wish you'd pray. We're looking for more volunteers. These volunteers on the back, they're not as young as they used to be. Old Brother Webb there. Brother Webb is over 90 years old. Only eternity will reveal the worth of what Brother Webb has done, serving right there at the Macedonia print shop. Has literally printed millions printed and folded gospel tracts. And we're so thankful for those volunteers. You're a big part of that. Without someone to purchase that paper, we wouldn't be able to print gospel tracts. So I know the print shop would want me to say thank you. And I said it this morning. I believe it bears repeating. Only eternity will reveal the true worth of the investment that Grace Baptist Church makes every single month in getting the gospel around the world. For those of you that were kind enough to pick up some music on the way out, Thank you, thank you. I trust it'll be a blessing, an encouragement, and a help to you. And there's also some other information on the table out there. Now, through the ministry of Macedonia World Baptist Radio, we're literally preaching the gospel around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you carry a smartphone? Several of you do. You can log on. If you carry an Apple product, you can go to the App Store, and you can go to the equivalent of that if you carry a Droid, and you can load the MWBR, that stands for Macedonia World Baptist Radio, app on your phone and listen to conservative Christian music with an emphasis on world evangelism 24 hours a day. Every single Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, I preach on MWBR. You load the app right on your phone. You can listen to, I call it, the Sermon of the Week. And I trust that'll be a help and a blessing to you. There's also information out there about Macedonia Institute of World Evangelism. It's brand new. We're just now getting it up and running. We're hoping the Lord will bless it and that it will be at least a minimum of a 2-year course that you can take online. It's not just for missionaries. It's for anyone that would love to gain a greater understanding of the Word of God. Information about that out there is focused on world evangelism and helping missionaries get to the field, but not just that. And so there's more information about that out there. Also information about an internship. Maybe you are praying, seeking God's will about where the Lord will lead you in the days to come. I know your pastor good enough to know that he would love to talk to you about that. He's the first one you should go to other than the Lord. But if we can help by offering an internship to several different places around the world, serving for a 5 to 6 to 7 month period with our missionaries there, we'd be honored to do so. But most importantly, Cassie and I want you to know how appreciative we are for everything. Your pastor and your pastor's wife have gone out of their way. They certainly meet that biblical qualification of being given to hospitality. Hey, he took us to Outback today and fed us a blooming onion. I'm honest, I've tried to think. I don't think I've had a blooming onion since the pastoring days, brother. I mean, really. And so they have just gone out of their way to make us feel welcome. And I so appreciate, preacher, I so appreciate the kindred spirit. And boy, aren't you thankful, church? Aren't you thankful God sent you a lot more than just a preacher? God sent you a pastor. And if you have a pastor that loves you and cares for you and will give you spiritual counsel from the pages of the Word of God, and on top of all that, preach the Word of God to you, boy, you are certainly blessed. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Bush, Mrs. Bush, their family. Boy, how the Lord is using them here. And I am absolutely honored to call them my friends. I'm just going to be really honest, preacher. The mornings wouldn't be the same without the morning text from your pastor. I get up real early. I love the mornings just like he does. And so one of the first things I look for when I pick up my phone in the morning is that morning text from your pastor. And I so appreciate that. Thank God for good, godly friends. And I know, look, the 10-year anniversary is coming up. And I know you folks good enough to know you're already planning about that. You're already got some things in the making. I want you to know you can't outgive the Lord. And one of the greatest things you can do for the Lord is be a blessing to some of the Lord's choice servants. Amen. One other thing before we open our Bibles together and before we consider this verse of Scripture, I want to encourage you to pick up one more thing on the way out tonight. And I would encourage you to pick up this more than anything else. This is a personal invitation to one of the greatest churches that I know, Grace Baptist Church. And I want to tell you, listen, you'll never know how far an invite will go.
That's right.
There are many stories I could tell you. Let me just give you one. The first church that I pastored was in Jonesville, North Carolina. Cassie and I literally walked across the street one day, knocked on the door of the house right across the street from the house where we lived. A fella came to the door, introduced me to him and his wife. Cassie and I introduced ourselves, and we invited him to the church that I pastored not more than a mile and a half from there. Not only did they come the following Sunday, but they ended up joining our church and being faithful members and friends. I'll never forget, not long after they joined the church, I said to him, "Brother Waddell, what is it that kept you out of church all these years?" And this is what he said, "Preacher, until we started coming here, we hadn't been to church in years." He said, "Now look, I can't blame anybody but myself. I don't blame any preacher. It's our fault for getting out of church. We took our eyes off of the Lord, and we shouldn't have done that. It's our fault for getting out of church. But preacher, I'm just going to be honest with you. You're the first one that's invited me to church in years." You know why I initially started coming? Because someone cared enough about him to pick up a gospel tract or an invitation just like this, which, by the way, has the plan of salvation on the back of it.
Yes, sir.
And invite them personally to church. That's why I say you never know how far an invite will go. So I want to encourage you, pick up a handful on the way out. Determine with all that's within you to keep this church, to keep the secretary busy having to purchase these every single... Wow, we're already out of tracks again? Yeah, we need more tracks. Well, you just take it upon yourself to do that, and who knows what the Lord might do. Well, have you found your place in Revelation chapter 22? If so, would you please stand tonight? Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on this thought. It is a thought that I could not get away from while seeking the Lord's will for the service tonight. God's invitation to the nations. I believe you and I witness such an invitation here in verse 17 of Revelation chapter 22. I'm going to encourage you to leave your Bibles open. We're going to be using them tonight throughout the course of our study together. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, oh, how I need thee tonight. Every hour I need thee. And I want to be a blessing to my friend, Pastor Bush, his family, and Lord, the church family of the Grace Baptist Church. What an honor it has been to have been here during this day. Now, Father, I pray that you would multiply my efforts tonight. Make a preacher out of me, if you would please. Lord, I'm nothing without you. Cleanse me of sin and self and fill me with thy Spirit. And I'll give you glory. I'll give you honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated tonight. Of course, this final book of the Word of God is called the Revelation. The word revelation stems from the Greek word apocalypse and simply means an unveiling. The word revelation literally means to show or to expose to view as the unveiling of a painting or a work of art is a revelation. This then, according to chapter number 1 and verse number 1 of the book, is the revelation of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. When you and I study this great book of the New Testament of the Bible, you'll discover there is a key to the book. And that key unlocks our understanding to the book of Revelation. God was gracious enough to hang that key at the front door of the book. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, the Lord speaks to John the Beloved and says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Here in this single verse of Scripture, you and I are given the structure of the entire book of the Revelation. In chapter number 1, John really did write about those things which he had seen, just as God instructed him to do. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, while writing to the seven churches of Asia Minor, John was used of the Lord to write about those things which were at the present moment of his writing. And then beginning with Revelation chapter 4 and continuing through this, the final chapter of the book, John was used of the Lord to write about those things which shall be hereafter. That is to say, these are the events, these are the things in chapters 4 through 22 that will begin after the church has been raptured from the earth and after the church age has drawn to a close. Of course, our key text tonight is taken from this, the final chapter of the book of Revelation. And I love what one Bible commentator has insightfully stated of the final chapter of the book before us tonight. He said, "The last verses of this last book of Scripture are like the final movement of some great concerto, in which we hear all of the instruments of the orchestra swelling with a flood of triumph." I say amen to that. And I say amen to that tonight because such is the case here in Revelation chapter 22. In fact, by the time we reach the time frame of this chapter, the book of the Revelation has taken us from the days of the early church in the past all the way into eternity, into the future. The Lord, through the prophetic pen of John the Beloved, has shown us how the church age will end. He has shown us what will follow after the church is raptured from the earth, how there will not only be tribulation on the earth, but jubilation and glory as you and I who are saved finally see the Lord face to face. However, by the time we reach this final chapter in God's inspired Bible, you and I see the culmination of those things that God would have us to see in the Scriptures. However, just before John lays his pen aside, it's almost as if the Holy Ghost taps John on the shoulder and says, "Wait just a minute, John. There's a few more things that God would like to say to whosoever." John, keep writing. It is at least a portion of those last few things that I felt impressed to the Lord to call your attention to for just a few moments tonight. In fact, I believe as you and I study this final chapter, verses 17 and beyond, we'll discover the Holy Ghost actually speaks of three last things before the inspired canon of Scripture comes to a close. Let me call your attention, if I may, to three last things of the Bible. First of all, notice verses 20 and 21. Here you and I see a last word. God, through the pen of John the Beloved, speaks one last time of grace in verse 21. But then he speaks one last time of glory in verse 20 by saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Yes, we see a last word, verses 20 and 21. Now notice, if you would please, verses 18 and 19. We see a last word, verses 20 and 21, but here in verses 18 and 19, we see one last warning. John writes in verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So yes, in verses 18 and 19, we see one last warning. A last word, verses 20 and 21. A last warning, verses 18 and 19. But that brings us to our key text tonight. Here in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, here we see one last welcome. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Many times in the preceding 26 books of the New Testament of the Bible, God, through the pen of the writers, has invited and in fact welcomed mankind to come and drink from the cool, refreshing waters of his well of salvation. And now, just one more time, just once more before John lays his pen aside, we see God doing so again. Yes, here, ladies and gentlemen, we see one last welcome. In fact, I believe when you and I study this single verse of Scripture, we'll inevitably discover that it is actually packed with what some have called one of heaven's favorite words. I'm talking about the word come. Do you see it in the text? Pastor Bush, I personally believe it is one of the greatest words in all of the Bible. It is the word come. I believe it's one of the grandest words in all of the Bible. I'm talking about the word come. It was first heard in the days of Noah as God was about to rain judgment on a world that had rejected him. After Noah had completed the ark that God had instructed him to build, and after God had provided salvation for Noah and his family, the Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1 that God himself stepped inside that ark and he turned to Noah and his family and said, come. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. And again, and again, and again, all throughout the pages of the precious word of God, God extends a welcome for sinful man to come to him. Remember, it was the Lord Jesus that said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Remember, it was our Savior that said in the latter portion of verse 37 of the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And now, once again, just one more time before John ceases from writing, just one more time before God brings the canon of Scripture to a close, the Holy Spirit of God inspires the word not once, not twice, but no less than three different times. God, here in our key text tonight, says come. God says come in spite of the sinners we are. God says come in spite of the mess we've made. God says come in spite of the failures we have suffered. God has an invitation to the nations of the world tonight, and that invitation is come. And therefore, for the next very few moments, there are just three truths directly from verse number 17 that I felt impressed of the Lord to call your attention to. I believe there are three truths in Revelation 22 and 17 that God wanted the Grace Baptist Church to be reminded of tonight. First of all, notice number one, the exhortation of the invitation. The exhortation of the invitation. As you and I begin to dig into the truths of verse 17, we'll discover that John writes of two different entities that are exhorted to proclaim God's invitation for mankind to come and drink from the cool, refreshing waters of his well of salvation. So let's address this question tonight, shall we? Who is it? What entities does God desire to use to extend this invitation for the nations of the world to come to Christ for their soul's salvation? Well, first of all, according to the text, the Spirit is exhorted to proclaim God's invitation to come. Isn't that what verse 17 says? Let's look at it again. Yes. The Bible says, and the Spirit, capital S, P-I-R-I-T. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And so the Spirit of God is exhorted to proclaim God's invitation to come. So the Bible is abundantly clear. The work of the Holy Spirit of God is not only to comfort, it's not only to conform the saint having been saved, but the work of the Holy Spirit starts by convicting the sinner before they are saved. Amen. That is exactly why Jesus said in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse number 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And how does God draw men, women, boys, and girls today? He does it through the wooing, through the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God. Oh, listen, thank God for he, the Holy Ghost, that works through the preaching of the Word of God. That's why I remind our missionaries often, it's going to take more than a magnetic personality for you to get to your prospective fields. It's going to take more than just outreach in the flesh if you're going to amount to anything for God. We are spiritual seed sowers. We sow the seed and we allow the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God to bring forth an abundant harvest.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
oh, listen, the older I get, the more I realize the need to rely on the Spirit as we do our best to reach the world with the gospel. And let me tell you why I'm so thankful about that tonight. There was a day in my life, personally, I'm giving you a personal illustration. There was a day in my life when I was convinced I was on my way to heaven. Can I tell you why? Brother, I was a good little boy. I mean, I could honestly say, as we often said in the foothills of North Carolina, where I was born and raised, I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or even run with those that do. I mean, if anybody could have got to heaven being a good little boy, I was well on my way. You know, preacher, I used to think that I didn't have much of a testimony. I would have hear fellas stand and they would talk about how God saved them out of a life of drugs or out of a life of alcohol and how God almost had to kill them before he saved them. Well, I didn't have that testimony. And I used to think, wow, I must not have much of a testimony. And it all of a sudden dawned on me one day, wait a minute, when I was a little boy, I had a serious drug problem. My mama and daddy drug me to church every time the doors were open. And one Sunday morning in the month of June in the year of 1974, a man of God took a blackback King James Bible, and instead of telling me what I wanted to hear, he told me what I needed to hear. And about a 11:45 that Sunday morning, the Holy Ghost came knocking on my heart's door. And for the first time, I realized, man, I'm not going to heaven. I'm going to hell. It takes more than good deeds. It takes more than a good moral life to get to heaven. And I saw myself lost. I saw myself in need of a Savior. Amen. And God changed my life when I turned from my sin to the Savior, having seen that I was a sinner. Now, what was it that brought about that change in my life? I'll tell you what it was. It was the Spirit. It was the Spirit saying, come. So the Spirit is exhorted to proclaim God's invitation to come. And the Spirit certainly does.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever sell him short. Sow the seed of the word of God.
Yes.
Sow the seed of the word of God. Keep preaching, preacher.
Yes.
Keep teaching, teacher. Keep doing a work for God, because God can take your weakness and turn it into strength.
Yes.
The Spirit of God can take your little and touch it and breathe upon it and turn your little
yes.
into much.
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit is exhorted to proclaim God's invitation to come. But wait a minute. Not just the Spirit. The Spirit's not the only one that God wants to use to extend this invitation to whosoever. The Spirit, yes. But the saved. The saved are exhorted to proclaim God's invitation to come. Can I show it to you? Look at verse 17. And the Spirit, watch your Bible now. And the bride. That's those of us who are saved.
That's right.
In fact, God, through the pen of John the Beloved, so desired to drive this point of the saved proclaiming God's invitation for mankind to come to Christ, that he not only mentioned the saved doing it once in the chapter, he mentioned us doing it twice. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, the Bible not only addresses the bride of Christ, but those that heareth God's invitation as well. According to the Bible, listen tonight, those same people are exhorted to extend God's invitation to the nations of the world. And I believe with all of my heart, when you dig into the truths of verse 17, you'll discover this too speaks of those of us who have been saved. Because when you study the word heareth, you'll discover the word implies a welcomed reception to the message. In other words, now that you and I who are saved have heard and welcomed the invitation. Hey, can I ask you this? Do you remember when you heard it?
Amen.
Do you remember when you accepted it?
Yes, sir.
Now God wants to use you to extend that invitation.
Yes,
the same invitation that you responded to. Listen, God wants to use you to extend it to the nations of the world.
Yes,
that's why we go. That's why we give. That's why we get missionaries to the field. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And having heard that joyful sound and having responded to it, we have now been exhorted and in fact commanded to extend Christ's invitation to the nations of the world. God, listen, God wants to use you. Man, I can't even begin to fathom that God wants to use me. God wants to use you. God wants to work through your soul winning. God wants to work through your door knocking. God wants to work through your tract distribution. God wants to work through your testimony. The Spirit has been exhorted, sure. According to the Bible, that's certainly the truth. But not just the Spirit. God longs to use every one of us that's been saved by the grace of God to impact this world for the cause of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And so we see the exhortation of the invitation. Secondly, notice the extent of the invitation. Who does God extend this life-changing invitation to? Well, first of all, here in our key text, Revelation 22 and 17, according to the Bible, God extends this life-changing invitation to the individual that is a thirst. John writes in the text, and let him that is a thirst come. Oh, and may God help us to realize afresh and anew tonight as we go about our business in this spiritually barren desert in which we live. It was none other than our Savior that said in John chapter number 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. All the extent of the invitation, God extends this life-changing invitation to the individual that is athirst. But wait a minute. Then God wanted to make it abundantly, abundantly, abundantly clear that we understood that this invitation included absolutely everybody. So here in this single verse of scripture, he takes the extent of the invitation to another level. Now we know that because he not only extends this invitation for the nations of the world to come to Christ, to the individual that is athirst, if you'll look in verse 17, he goes on to extend it to absolutely, listen, anybody.
That's right.
Do you see it? It's right here in the text. You say, well, preacher, several times tonight you're saying the text says, the Bible says. Notice what the Bible, you know why I say that? Because when it comes to reaching others with the gospel, it doesn't matter at all what Brother Caudle has to say. But it matters a whole lot what God has to say.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
God extends this invitation to anybody. Now here is what I like to call the place in the Bible where the sovereignty of God has a head-on collision with the grace of God. And by the way, you don't have to get nervous when I use the word sovereign. The word sovereign simply means all-powerful. And you better believe you can believe in the sovereignty of God and still believe in a whosoever gospel. The words whosoever will in the text simply imply that whereas Jesus died for everyone, whereas Jesus died for both the whosoever wills as well as the whosoever wants, it is only those who take the water of life,
yes, sir,
whose thirst will be quenched. Let me put it this way tonight. When you study the Bible, there is something God sacredly guards all throughout its inspired pages. You want to know what it is? The will of man.
Yes, sir.
God's not going to force you to be saved.
That's right.
And by the way, child of God, he's not going to force you to live for him after
That's
you're
right.
saved. If you're here tonight and you're lost, if you would open your ears of faith, you would hear God through the preaching of the Word of God saying, come, come, come. But the Bible is abundantly clear. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 teaches us that God isn't willing that any, do you understand? That any should perish, but that all, should come to repentance. And you want to know what that little three-letter word all means? That little three-letter word all means all, and that's all the word all means. Do you know what that means? Well, let me tell you what that means. You can't knock on a wrong door. You can't reach a wrong neighborhood. You can't pass out an invitation to Grace Baptist Church to the wrong person. Jesus died for the world. Jesus died for the world. The exhortation of the invitation, the extent of the invitation, and finally, verse 17, one other thing, and I'll be through tonight. Notice, if you would please, the expense of the invitation.
Yes, sir.
And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life. Somebody say that next word for me.
Freely.
Freely. Freely. And ladies and gentlemen, we can take the water of life freely tonight because the price has already been paid. Jesus paid the price so that you and I, through him, could not only have life, but have it more abundantly. Can I illustrate it like this tonight? I'm talking about the expense of the invitation. I think it was while I was pastoring my second church. I pastored the Calvary Baptist Church in Statesville, North Carolina, for 7 years before God moved me to just outside of Atlanta, Georgia, the Canaan Baptist Church of Covington, Georgia, where I spent the last 12 of the 22 years that the Lord blessed me to pastor. It was during a pastor appreciation day or something like that, maybe it was a birthday, someone in the church purchased a gift certificate for me and my family to the K&W cafeteria. Now, I don't know if you folks are familiar with K&W cafeterias, but they're pretty big deal. They used to be a bigger deal than what they are right now. They've shut a lot of them down. But my church that I was blessed to pastor, they knew I loved the K&W cafeteria. And I'd often make remarks on it and talk about how I'd love to go to the K&W. They told me, somebody came up to me after church one night and said, "Preacher, you know you're getting old when you love to go to the K&W. I said, "Really? Is this true?" They said, "Well, yes, preacher, you do know what K&W stands for, don't you?" And I said, "No, I really don't." They said, "Canes and walkers." That's what they said. And so someone bought us a gift certificate to the K&W cafeteria. Well, the way it works there, like many other cafeterias, you go through the line, you get your tray, you get your silverware, you get your napkin, you go down through the line, and you pick out what you want in the buffet. When you get down to the end of the line, there is a little lady sitting down here, and she's figuring up the debt that you owe. Well, we got our food, got to the end of the line, she figured up the debt that we owed, and she handed me the bill. And the way it works there, after you get your bill, you get your food, you go and you sit down and you enjoy your meal. But when you get through with the meal, there are not many ways out. There's only one way out. And that's by the last little old lady, and she's sitting at the place where you've got to settle the debt. If you're going to leave, you're going to have to pay up. So Cassie and I finished eating our meal with our family, and we went to the last little lady, and I presented the bill, which on the bill had the debt that I owed. Now, that was my debt. Would you agree with that? That was a debt that I owed. And so the lady took the ticket from me, and she looked at it, and she said, "Sir, that will be," and she told me how much money I owed. But then I took out the gift certificate where someone else who loved us had already paid the price.
Yes, sir.
And she took that gift certificate and she put it side by side of the debt that was owed. What she was looking for, she wanted to know that the price that had been paid would be enough to cancel the debt that was owed. When she looked at the price that someone who loved us had paid, she saw that it was more than enough to cancel the debt. So I will never forget what she did. She reached up underneath the counter and she pulled out a rubber stamp and she dipped it in a red pad of ink and she stamped that debt with one word, and it was the word redeemed. The word redeemed means to purchase by paying a price. The word redeemed, listen, the word redeemed should remind us tonight, church, that salvation may be free, but it certainly isn't cheap.
Yes, sir.
It cost Christ's blood on the cross of Calvary. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, the expense of the invitation. We can say to the nations of the world tonight, come, because the price has already been paid. We can say, come and drink, take the water of life. Say the word one more time for me.
Freely.
You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me? Father, if I could encourage just one member of Grace Baptist Church tonight to leave this auditorium with a greater burden to reach the world with the gospel, then Lord, my being here tonight would not have been in vain. Lord, I held up these gospel tracts, these personal invitations from Pastor Bush and Grace Baptist Church for a reason. Lord, wouldn't it be a great thing tonight if the church secretary had to order some more of these next week as a result of so many people getting under a burden to invite their neighbors, their friends, their co-workers, their classmates to the Grace Baptist Church. Lord, I know the preacher's busy doing that, and his son here is they're both busy doing that. But Lord, there is someone that only some of these precious people can reach. There is someone out there that wouldn't even take an invitation from Pastor Bush, but they would take it from this brother. They would take it from this sister. Lord, I pray that it's been made evident tonight through the message. You long to use each one of us who are saved to make a difference in the lives of others. So would you help us tonight to be used to the fullest extent to extend your invitation to the nations of the world. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As we stand to our feet all over the building tonight, in just a few moments, your pastor is going to come and he's going to close the service as he sees fit. But earlier today, I asked you a question. It went something like this. How many of you can think of the name of at least one person? Now, no doubt we can think of more than one. But how many of you can think of the name of at least one person that you know, a friend, an acquaintance, a coworker, a classmate? They're lost. They've never accepted Christ's invitation to come. I want to ask you a question tonight. I know you can pray wherever you are. You can pray standing there. But there's just something special about stepping out in an aisle and walking forward to an altar, finding a place in that altar and calling that name that God laid on your heart today to Him in prayer.